Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Techno Land? RCT Techno DJs in the house. Oh yeah, bringing you the only fat beats in Pittsburgh. Right here on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM.
Every once in a while, I like to come back to what is a really disturbing reality in the United States, which is the tax-exempt nature, not only of sort of like churches generally or of the schools within churches, but even radical, extremist, dangerous churches having this benefit from the government wherein they do not pay taxes of many kinds, including sometimes taxes on the properties that they own, income taxes on proceeds received, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there is really no better example of this than Global Vision Bible Church in Tennessee, where, if that sounds familiar, we have talked about it before, where Pastor Greg Locke recently went on an outrageous febrile screed, where he said not only are there six bona fide witches in our congregation, he said three of them are in the room right now. Okay? This is sanctioned by the state in the sense that it is a tax-exempt endeavor. Take a look at this.
We got first and last names of six witches that are in our church. Mm. And you know what's strange? Three of you are in this room right now.
Right.
Three of you in the room right now. You better look in my eyeballs. We ain't afraid of you, you stinking witch. You devil-worshipping Satanist witch.
This is Dark Ages stuff. This is Dark Ages. Think about the track record of the United States when it comes to accusations of witchcraft, right? I mean, there's precedent here, and this is reminiscent of a very, very bad time in Salem, Massachusetts.
We cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ. We break your spells. We break your curse. We got your first name. We got your last name. We even got an address for one of you.
Now, the address part should frighten all of us because, you know, I mean, listen, you don't need to think too far about what is being threatened when you say address. Now, it's easy to write this off as this is one lunatic. And of course, it is a lunatic, but this is a tax-exempt church, and he's making open threats here on, you know, witchcraft. Give me a break, guys.
You so much as cough wrong, and I'll expose you in front of everybody in this tent, you stinking witch. You were sent to this church to destroy us. You were sent to this church to lure us in. You were sent to this church to cast spell. Listen, some of you been sick because you befriended that witch.
Blaming, but that's, by the way, this is a COVID crazy guy. He called COVID a fake pandemic in December of 2020. He turned on Trump when Trump started saying, hey, the vaccine's pretty good. Completely turned on Trump at that time. So what he's even saying there is those of you who think you got COVID, you have to understand the what this guy's talking about. Those of you who believe you got COVID, that you were sick, you had symptoms. It wasn't COVID, it was witchcraft.
Two of you in my wife's latest Bible study, and you know who you are, and we're going to ask you to get out, or I'll expose you in front of everybody. We got all six of their names. All six of them. Two of them had already been confirmed before that thing ever even said it. First and last name. This chick is new to our church and don't know none of you. So you got a choice. You can leave with your spells all by yourself. Or I'll show up next Sunday with a stage full of brooms. Mm. And I'll give you one and I'll fly your tail up out of this place in the name of Jesus, but we ain't playing your spell casting witchcraft nonsense.
Now, of course, you know, if we want to take this pragmatically, we would all be saying, you know, if you're praying to Jesus the right way, isn't that stronger than the witchcraft? Like, can't, do you need to kick them out to resist the spells, or could you maybe just pray right and then God will protect you from this? Who's stronger, the witches? It, none of it makes sense. This is a guy who's running a church with a transphobic, homophobic, climate change denying, COVID denying record. He posted a video back in August of 2020 threatening violence against a Dunkin' Donuts employee who he referred to as Nazi Skippy because the employee was like, hey, we have a mask policy here. you gotta wear a mask here. Global Vision Bible Church in Tennessee. Tax exempt. Think about how backwards this all is in the United States. The Trump family doesn't have a great track record when it comes to charity and donations. Trump often promising donations, which he never gives. We've talked about the Trump Foundation or whatever it was called, having to stop operating as part of an agreement based on an investigation into the fraudulent nature of that. Well, Melania Trump is now getting pulled into it. A Melania Trump event is being investigated after promising to donate proceeds to a charity, that doesn't appear to exist. A charity event set to be hosted by Melania in Florida is being investigated after organizers said a portion of its proceeds would go to a charity that does not appear to exist, per the New York Times. The organizers have said the High Tea event in April in Naples, Florida, will benefit Fostering the Future, a Be Best initiative, granting computer science scholarships to those aging out of the foster care system. Tickets are $3,000, VIP tickets are $50,000. We don't know what percentage would go to charity, but what's the real problem? The real problem is the New York Times found no charity with the name Fostering the Future or Be Best registered in Florida. Now you might say, well, maybe they're just not registered, but in Florida, the law requires that organizations soliciting donations register so that you know it's a real charity. Consumer Services Division is currently investigating whether this event involves an entity operating in violation of Chapter 496, Florida statutes. Melania Trump denies that the charity doesn't exist. The New York Times, of course, reported this initially, and people following up. Following the launch of her line of NFTs and the auction of a white hat she wore at the White House, she's selling tickets for this April 9th event in Naples. The Tulips and Topiaries High Tea is pitched as a once-in-a-lifetime experience, an afternoon of sophisticated elegance set in elaborate, lush floral gardens designed to inspire giving, hope, possibility, and dreams. There's no indication of how much money will be raised, and Melania says the reporting that the charity doesn't exist is false. She tweeted, dishonest reporting added again. Everything has been done lawfully and all documents are in the works. Read with caution, typical corrupt media. She added she's working with the Bradley Impact Fund, which calls itself a donor-advised fund for conservatives. Does it exist or not? We don't know, but it has real human fund vibes. I don't know how many of you guys are for, you know, Seinfeld fans, but there's an episode in which the George Costanza character starts asking for donations to the Human Fund, which is fake. It's just him. It's him. It's, you know, money for people is the slogan. And the money just goes to George. And this is just apparently with Melania, the continuing grift upon grift upon grift that has been the Trump presidency. The campaign he ran was a grift. And then the presidency was a grift. And then the fundraising in order to overturn it was a grift. It's all a grift. And it now involves Melania Trump. And is the charity real or not? Well, it's certainly not registered with the state of Florida. That alone is enough to make it all against the law. They will never stop unless someone stops them. I hope that you will all join me Tuesday, March 1, now just about 10 days away, for Joe Biden's State of the Union address. This is expected to be one of the most consequential State of the Union addresses in a long time for a number of different reasons. Will Joe Biden signal the end of the pandemic phase of COVID? What will be going on with Ukraine, Russia? what will be signaled about the 2022 midterms, which themselves will be so consequential for 2024. Major, major State of the Union address. We will be live on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook starting 1 hour before the speech. I hope you will join me and stick around today. We'll be taking some of your calls. I'll be reading some of your emails and so much more to discuss. Follow me on Twitter at @dpacman. Let me know what you think about Melania's so-called charity. We'll take a quick break and be right back. The David Pakman Show is a viewer-supported program, a listener-supported program. You can sign up and get a membership at joinpakman.com. Extremely exciting thing to do. You can also use the coupon code WOW22 for a discount. We are going to take some calls. We are going to take calls via Discord, as we often do. You can find the Discord at davidpakman.com/discord. Let's talk to some people, starting here with Alex from Baltimore. Alex, you're on the air.
Hey, David, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right. First, I want to say I do thank my lucky stars every day that I'm not David Pakman.
Thank you.
Kidding, of course.
That's a predator right there.
Yes, yes, you are. Kidding again. Okay, so one of the better faith arguments I hear from your average Joe and Jane against progressive policies would be not ideological so much as the American government and the bureaucracy within is just so bloated, slow, wasteful, expensive that we don't even want to take the chance to give them a bigger program, more responsibility, because they're just going to screw it up and cost us a ridiculous amount of money, and it's going to be terrible. As someone who wants those policies implemented, is there truth to that? And how would you approach dealing with that if it is true?
So I think it's hard to deal in generalities. It's a very popular talking point just to say the government's incompetent. Don't give the government more stuff to do. It sounds very tight, neat and tidy as a talking point. The reality is that many of the proposals from the left would actually simplify the bureaucratic aspect of it. For example, there are proposals, as some say, to eliminate a whole bunch of small means-tested social welfare programs and put in place one program with either only one bureaucracy for means testing or no means testing at all. That's a dramatic simplification, and you're actually making it more likely that government will succeed because it's a much simpler program. So number one, a lot of times you're not really giving government more stuff to do. And then number two, in terms of the bloat argument, many of the people advocating for government to start doing certain things are also saying government should stop doing certain things. So whereas they want to grow one area, they're saying shrink another. And so that argument sounds appealing, but it's quite literally untrue in many cases.
Yeah, no, I get that. And that's just more of me debating with people.
Sure.
But sometimes I do kind of agree with them in certain things. A good example, like infrastructure and high-speed rail in particular, you hear stories that, oh, they shut it down in California because it was costing $25 million a mile. Meanwhile, France, who is quite progressive for the most part and has lots of unions, can do it for $9 million a mile.
Yeah, like, and I mean, what you've got to remember is, in general, Europe is much better at trains than the United States. So when you're better at something, you're usually going to do it more cheaply. And number two, the government isn't building the rail. They're hiring people to do it. So at the end of the day, it's actually private industry that needs to get better. So listen, it's very loud where you are, so I'm going to let you go. I'm curious, what are you doing? Are you running a lathe or something?
No, I work at a weld shop. I'm a pipe fitter. So
okay, you're fitting pipe during the call.
Well, no, I stepped outside and it's a little breezy to try to get away from it.
Oh, I see. The pipe fitting would have been even louder.
Well, yeah, there's lots of welding, even more motors and then clanking of pipe wrenches. So it would have been worse.
All right, apologies. I appreciate it. Thank you for the call,
all right,
Alex.
Thanks, David.
Take care. Yep. Alex stepped out of the pipe fitting area. Very, very important. Last week we tried to check in with Eric from Cancun, and he wasn't there. So I'm going to try once more. Eric from Cancun, can you hear me?
Hi, David. It's sunny right now. The thing I want to tell you last week is, what do you think of traditions?
What do I think of traditions? I am not in favor of traditions only for tradition's sake. I don't find virtue in traditions in principle, but I have no problem with specific traditions that are meaningful to people.
That's exactly what I want to tell you, because traditions are to commemorate the people that did things for us to celebrate, to improve our lives. And I still like traditions, like giving gifts in birthdays, in Valentine's, in holiday winters.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think that conservatives would be very upset or worried that liberals want to get rid of those traditions. But I think that we're not really getting rid of them, only changing the way we do. For example, in Halloween, I make cosmetics for Team Fortress 2. And I think we should rethink about some traditions, like forcing women to stay in the kitchen, ignoring the opinion of children, and killing animals to pretend to be brave and strong instead of taming the beast like a real man. Also, like Lieutenant Dan wants to die in Vietnam because his ancestors died in other wars. If you saw Forrest Gump?
Yes, a fantastic movie.
Let me remember what other thing I was going to say. Oh, I remember now. If you saw, you should remember, you see Fiddler on the Roof, the first song is called Tradition. And there's a farmer called Tabian. He says that in Anatepka, they have traditions of how to pray, how to sleep, how to eat, to wear their yarmulke, to pray to God. And here's the most important part. He says, when he is going to tell us how this tradition started, he says, I don't know. But it's a tradition, and thanks to their traditions, they know what God expects them to do.
Well, Eric, you know, you've touched in such a short amount of time on the weather, religion, philosophy, film. I can't thank you enough for the wide-ranging phone call.
I want to tell only two things before we cut. And first,
two more
I saw
things. Oh, my goodness.
So the comments about our calls, and they say I have a cartoonish voice. Maybe if I do my impersonation of Mario, like, it's me, Mario, hoo-hoo! Can anyone tell Nintendo to give this beautiful color a shot to work as the new voice actor?
Eric from Cancun, thank you so much for the call. You've said it all, and on that note, we are going to have to go. Let's speak next to Isaac from Wyoming. Isaac from Wyoming, please.
Hello, David. Yes. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate you taking a chance on somebody from Wyoming.
I love Wyoming. Thank you.
Have you been to Wyoming?
Never. But I would like to go. I hear that, you know, there's like a big sky there and stuff.
Yeah, big sky and bad politics.
Okay.
So I guess my question is, it's kind of silly because I sort of already know the answer. And honestly, I just jumped in here and am admittedly not completely prepared. But my question is, do you have any plans in the future to sort of hire your own investigative journalist, which I've seen you've been doing somewhat recently? And sort of just expand into a legitimate news outlet?
Well, we are completely illegitimate currently, and so your concern is certainly warranted. Will we ever have an air of legitimacy? That's fair. Many people ask me that. That's a fair question. No, I know what you're saying. I mean, we're a commentary and analysis show. We're not a news reporting show, and we don't pretend otherwise. Yeah, maybe. I'm always open to considering anything. I just think we have to think about, like, as a small organization, if we hire one investigative reporter, can we really do something that we feel is meaningful and we can feel good about compared to entities with just overwhelmingly more resources? But I have no opposition to it in principle.
Awesome. Other than that, one more question. As someone who's more left-leaning in our red state, what types of things would you recommend for people in my situation to sort of influence politics in the state and push it towards the left more.
In many red states where there's like a tradition of voting for Republicans, but people are actually open to different ideas, getting involved in ballot initiatives can be really effective, because rather than saying, hey, vote for this Democrat, which maybe isn't going to happen, you can find ballot initiatives that are reasonable moves to the left that will not seem as scary to a Republican electorate. And so I would look at getting involved in ballot initiatives, whether they be about campaign finance, the environment, whatever's important to you.
Awesome. Yeah, actually, in Wyoming, there is an ongoing effort to create a ballot initiative to legalize marijuana. Mm-hmm. That has thus failed so far because the signature requirements are so big. You know, we just can't get the signature requirements
yes.
that we need. In any case, thanks for talking to me, and I love the show.
All right, thank you so much. Let us know if you make any headway there in Wyoming. Let's go next to Yannick from Las Vegas. Yannick, how's Vegas these days?
David Pakman, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, I have one of those fears. I always see how when the connection is bad, how much it upsets you. So
it saddens me, yeah. But no, our connection's solid right now.
So I've got a lighthearted kind of funny question for you. So okay. I'm a financial advisor. I have some clients who, I don't want to say anything too specific, but imagine some of the craziest people you see on your show. Like, they are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs,
yep.
but I help them manage their money.
Okay.
And so some of my friends like joke around and are like, you're basically a Candace Owens of wealth management. So my question is like, what's your opinion on me, you know, having those clients inevitably?
Listen, if a financial advisor is so attached to not helping people whose political views are at odds with their own, it's yeah. up to you to decide. I'm only going to manage money for progressives. Like, you could do that. I don't have any kind of opinion on that. I mean, I think, you know, there's lots of jobs where, I mean, could a mechanic say we only fix cars for progressives? Like, sure, I could. But at right. a certain point, it's sort of like, what are we trying to do? And if your goal is simply like, okay, let me build my business as an advisor and just help as many people as possible, even if some of those right. people will take their gains and donate it to causes I don't want, it's ultimately your call. I don't have any view
exactly.
on that.
Right. I'm going to tell him you said that. And also, funny note, kind of not funny. During the last election, I talked to a lot of people who were so deluded by this, you know, Joe Biden is a communist, Joe, you know, he's going to crash the market. And I explained to them, like, listen, every article I'm reading that's coming out is basically saying, like, this guy's policies are not going to be much different than Trump anyway. And a lot of people, I watched them sell millions of dollars out of the market. And I'm like,
well, Yannick, I'm curious why you didn't say something else. What if you told them the truth, which is stocks tend to perform better when a Democrat is president than when a Republican is president, going back to the beginning of the market? I mean, that it's an undeniably accurate statement. What would they say if you told them that?
I just think if you're getting into specific facts like that, they're just going to not believe it, essentially.
So they don't trust you as a financial advisor?
I think a lot of people let their political leanings over affect their investment decisions.
Right. No, I don't doubt that. But I mean, it would just be interesting if presumably they trust you to manage their money and they go, I'm thinking of selling everything because a Democrat is going to win. If you go,
yeah.
oh, no, the market does fine under Democrats. You'd think most people would be like, oh, all right, I won't do anything then.
Right. And I also think it's funny because, you know, I talk with some of my buddies and we're like, looking back, I wonder, like, if I asked these same people, do I think they'd be checked into reality that, like, oh, I was wrong? Or are they going to find some, like, oh, the Democrats, they're rigging the stock market, too?
Right.
So it's just a funny thing. But I'm going to get out of here, my brother. I really appreciate the time. I'm a massive fan of your show. So this was really an honor. It's the first time I ever jumped in the chat. So
beautiful.
Really appreciate it.
And things are okay in Vegas. I potentially will be back there in a few weeks for my first. It's going to be my triumphant return since the start of the pandemic.
You know, it's good. So I just moved. I grew up in Vegas. I went to school at Georgetown University. I moved to New Jersey and have been working there ever since. And then I just recently moved back to Las Vegas.
Okay.
I went independent as an advisor. The biggest change, like, besides that, there's like kind of everyone wears masks in, or excuse me, there's never really been any mask mandates in Jersey
right
lately. So I'm kind of getting used to like everyone here wearing the masks all the time. But David, people here are strapped to the teeth. And what I mean is the amount of guns that yeah. people have here, it's just such a juxtaposition to what I was used to in New Jersey at this point. You know, so just like seeing people just open carry at the Albertsons, you know what
right.
I mean? It's just a wacky, wacky thing if you haven't seen it in a while, you know?
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Yannick, thank you for the call.
A real honor, my brother. Have
All
a good
right.
one.
There's Yannick from Vegas. Let's take a very short break. If you're holding, don't hang up because I'm going right back to the phones in a moment. Okay, let's hear from a few more people via Discord, davidpakman.com/discord if you'd like to chat with me. Let's go next to, let's go to Bob from Colorado. Bob from Colorado, you're on.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, so I got a question. I've been seeing news reports recently that you see a lot of the MAGA people basically accidentally supporting liberal policies. Like I saw recently that, I forget exactly what it was, but there were attempts to break up tech monopolies like Facebook and Twitter. And it had bipartisan support from both the left and a lot of the MAGA people.
Yep.
Do you think we might end up seeing a lot of accidental liberal policies kind of from, I don't want to say out of ignorance, but kind of out of ignorance?
Yes. I mean, what's going on is a lot of these MAGA people are going against their stated principles just because they want to own the libs or companies they perceive to be on the left. So, for example, like all these MAGA people are like, regulation's bad. Let's not regulate companies. But then like Facebook bans their favorite conservative anti-vaxxer and all of a sudden they go, we got to regulate that. We got to regulate Facebook all of a sudden. I think that at the end of the day, they don't really have an interest in regulating companies. They don't really have an interest in enforcing antitrust. They've not expressed any interest in that. And I think what's going to stop a lot of this stuff from becoming legislation is if they get close to saying, we are going to pass a more robust antitrust infrastructure to break up some of these tech companies, their big funders in the corporate world will say, hey, if you do that, it will also affect us. And then they'll back off of it. That's my prediction.
So you don't think we're going to see any big changes?
I really don't.
Not
if it depends on the MAGA people. Like if politics get realigned, then yes, but not thanks to the MAGA people.
Okay. And one more question. How do you feel about the right to repair, movement or bills that are going on right now? And do you think we're going to see anything positive come out of that?
I am hopeful. I generally favor right to repair, which relates right. to a lot of different issues, including intellectual property and some other things. Generally speaking, I favor right to repair, but on any particular bill, you know, I have to look at the bill to say for sure.
There definitely seems to be bipartisan support for that as well, because I know a lot of rural farmers and the like are supporting that to, you know, be able to fix equipment and all that.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. No, I think it's a worthwhile movement.
Okay. Thank you, Dave. You answered all my questions today.
All right. Thank you very much. There's Bob. Great to hear from Bob. Let's go next to, is it Sado from Spain? Sado from Spain?
Yes. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi. Nice to meet you. It's Sado. Un placer conocerte. Que sé
un placer.
Que hablas español.
Igualmente.
I wanted to ask a question, but I'd like to give a little bit of context before so you guys can see where I'm coming from. because seeing the lobby, I might be the only one not from the US right now.
That's fine. We just want a direct path to your question. You know, we try to avoid two monologues that are too extensive.
Yeah, basically, I just wanted to say that in Spain, I don't know how many of you would be familiar with the political context here, but I tend to tell my American friends a lot that the right-wing extremists in Spain would be considered communists in the US. Basically because a lot of their propaganda turns around the conservation of the social government, right? And it appeals, you know, to the older folks and stuff like that. And all around Europe, you see many perspectives that really aren't at all what you see in the political context in the US. And I could give more context if you want in several different issues, but I basically wanted to ask you, like, are you aware, maybe you as what your Americans call liberal, or Americans in general, are you aware of how crazy and toxic your politics are perceived overseas?
I am very aware of it. I mean, listen, I have family in a lot of different countries, and so I am regularly getting the feedback that American politics are toxic and insane. We also have viewers, you know, 20% of our viewers are not in the United States, and so I get emails all the time from people in Denmark or Spain or anywhere saying, it's insane what's going on in the United States. So yes, I am very much aware that this is not normal here.
But I know you are, because as you say, you speak with a lot of people and, you know, many international people and all. But do you think there is, so to speak, a consensus within the country?
No, I think a lot of people have no idea. Certainly, there's a lot of people that have no idea, and that I can't answer for them. But there's many people that don't know what's going on in other countries.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. I would say it's a bit interesting from the European perspective. I think we see the United States as being overly focused within itself, whilst the rest of the world can know a lot about the U.S. Every single country that has its size on the U.S. will probably be a complete mystery for Americans. Right?
Many Americans are completely self-centered in their news consumption, for sure. Okay, Cedo from Spain, thank you so much for the call. I'm going to leave you to the crinkly paper, whatever you've got going on there. Very, very much appreciate it. Let's go next. Where do we go next? Because there's just it's crazy what's happening on the phones right now. If you saw what was happening on the phones, you would be shocked. Let's go to D Baby from, is it Alsace? I don't know that I'm pronouncing any of these things correctly. D Baby, are you there?
It's Alsace. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, it's Alsace.
Alsace. Where is Alsace?
Alsace, it's on the border of France.
Oh, okay, beautiful. Well, what's on your mind, D Baby?
Well, you know, I've just been a little down lately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just feels like we keep inching progress forward, you know? It just feels like it's you know, one step forward, five steps back, half a step forward, eight steps back. I don't know. It just seems like we're going down. I don't know. Do you have any sort of feeling that we're you know, that this trend is going to change? Are we ever
actually? Can you give me some examples of the steps forward and the steps back so I would know what you mean?
I mean, I guess one way to think of it is sort of, if you look at what's happening with inflation right now, mm-hmm. you know, like we just all these.
D Baby, thank you. Appreciate the call. Let's go. Let's go to Noah from California. Noah, you're on the air.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right. Hey, David, a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I just had a question. If you've noticed, I heard you talk the other day that you said crypto seems to be a trigger word for a lot of people on the left. And I feel like I've been thing that happened with Tesla and Elon Musk as well. People trying to bag on his engineering of the vehicles and saying that it's badly designed this. I mean, I thought we were supposed to be pro-electric vehicle, right?
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know that I'm the right person to comment on this as both a, you know, Tesla vehicle owner and longtime shareholder. I quite frankly couldn't care less about Elon Musk. I mean, you know, my car has been perfect. There's no problems with it. It works fine. Every feature works fine. I've never had any problem. The car needs no maintenance. It has, you know, most vehicle manufacturers doing electric vehicles still don't have vehicles with range anywhere close to what Tesla has. But I do agree that soon Tesla's going to have a problem on its hands. One of those problems is that, I mean, listen, Audi is better at making cars than Tesla. That's just the reality. And right now the Audi e-tron gets 200 miles per charge. But later this year, they're going to have one that gets closer to 400 miles per charge. Once that's the case, are people going to get the e-tron or the Model Y? I mean, probably the e-tron, you know? So I think that there's legitimate criticisms of the vehicles. There's criticisms of the company. The company is getting sued for certain things and everything should all happen. I don't really care about the cult of personality stuff. I mean, I think, you know, Elon Musk needs to pay taxes and Elon Musk needs to do all the things everybody needs to do. But yeah, for me, it's like people just get so emotional about this stuff. It's like, I don't care about Elon Musk. I don't care about Sergey Brin or Zuckerberg specifically. It's just sort of like, what are these companies doing? What are they bringing to the table? Are they properly regulated, et cetera? Elon Musk's wacky tweets, yeah, I find them stupid, but I just don't really care, you know?
Right. Right. I pretty much agree with everything there. I just have a quick follow up. What do you think about these electric trucks coming out? I think it was Ford or Chevron or something that just released them. Do you have any opinions about that? Would you be getting an electric truck if given the opportunity?
I don't need a truck. I mean, you know, growing up, I had friends who had pickup trucks and I would always say, what do you need the bed for? And they'd say, oh, every once in a while I move something. I just don't need a truck. So I don't plan to get a truck, but I think it's fantastic. And the fact that there's such demand for the electric F-150 bodes really well for electric vehicle adoption. I think it's great. I think we just need to be moving towards electric vehicles, period.
Completely agree. Thank you, David, for answering my call.
My pleasure. There is Noah with some very pointed questions about Tesla and other things. Why don't we go next to Christian from Edmonton?
Hi, David.
Hello.
Thanks for taking my call today.
Pleasure.
I had a question about election systems.
Okay.
So, of course, I'm here in Canada, but I'm aware that you guys have the popular vote interstate compact attempting to, you know, change the way you guys do your electoral system.
Yes.
I understand it needs, you know, like a bit under 100 more electoral seats in order to become active. But here, especially in Alberta, but in Canada as a whole, too, we do have a problem with gerrymandering, just like you guys in the States.
Okay.
As an example, from our last election in 2021, the NDPs, they're kind of like the progressive party here. They received 3 million votes, which is 17%, and they got 25 seats. But the Bloc Québécois, which only is in Quebec, they don't run in any other province.
Yes.
They got 1.3 million, which is 7.6%, and they got 32 seats. So it's more than just a population thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Trudeau government first came into power in 2015, they ran on proportional representation. But I imagine they ran the numbers if we had something like Germany or Japan and quickly realized they'd lose a ton of power. So they abandoned it. Do you think making a change to the proportional system or a popular vote, interstate compact, would fix gerrymandering? Or do you think it's more systemic than that?
Are you saying in the United States?
Yeah, in the US, or if we in Canada, we changed to a proportional system.
There's different, these are two different things that are in, so I can only speak to the United States. In the United States, there's two different things going on. The National Popular Vote Interstate Compact is a way to use a national popular vote to choose the president without having to make a constitutional change, which is states just agree, we will give our votes to whoever wins the popular vote. So that gets us out of the Electoral College. That's one thing. Separately, to deal with gerrymandering, which is within states in the US, setting up either, I mean, at this point, computers can fairly draw district maps, or setting up a nonpartisan a district redistricting committee that would solve partisan gerrymandering within states. And it's totally separate from the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. Two different things, two different problems they would solve.
Okay, so like if the Interstate Compact came into effect because enough states were able to just go on the proportional system, right, the states that still gerrymander, like the southern states that do it really bad, they would still do that. It just wouldn't matter.
The gerrymandering has nothing to do with the presidential. Okay, so the gerrymandering is for district seats within states. Like, what is the map of AOC's district? Completely separate from how we select the president. All right, my friend, thank you for the call. Very important issue. That is going to do it for calls today. I apologize if I didn't get to you, but I will try to do better next time. Okay, let's get into the mailbag for the week. Many, 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 many emails coming in over the last week. Only a few can be chosen. Remember, don't abuse info@davidpakman.com. Really, if you're emailing every day, we're not seeing your emails. They're getting filtered right into the trash. Into a folder in case law enforcement ever has a concern about one of our viewers. It does happen. Many different topics covered today in the mailbag. Let's just jump right in. What am I even talking about? Let's start with a message from Peter. Peter said, don't underestimate gazpacho. David, a number of extremist and conspiracy researchers have brought up the idea that Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert's gaffes and spelling mistakes are perhaps deliberate ploys to spread their message further. It is something to consider, as every time they make one of these mistakes, it goes viral. At some point, you have to wonder if they're doing it on purpose to get as many eyes on their underlying message as possible. We already underestimated Trump the buffoon. Let's not keep making the same mistake. Thanks, Peter. Yeah, I think it's completely reasonable to wonder about that. I think that there is no way to argue that these buffoonish gaffes are actually helping them build support for any of these things. I mean, the gazpacho thing, sure, there are some Americans who have been sort of tricked or bamboozled into thinking that there is some kind of vaccine or mask gazpacho, Gestapo. But they're not really falling for that. The people who believe that already believe it. I don't think mispronouncing it as gazpacho is going to bring people into the movement. So I don't think that they're that clever. I don't think that they're that smart. And even if it's what they're trying to do to get attention, to convince people by saying gazpacho instead of Gestapo, I just don't think it's working at the end of the day. And so I'm not worried about that. Joshua wrote in about Bob Saget. Bob Saget, the comedian who died not long ago. We now know the cause of death was some kind of trauma to his head. Later went to bed and died, presumably due to some kind of brain bleed that became fatal while he was sleeping. Joshua said, so now that Bob Saget's cause of death has been released, don't you think it's time for Candace Owens to go on TV and apologize for saying it was due to the COVID vaccine? Just a thought. Of course. Candace Owens, the right-wing provocateur, said in the days after Bob Saget's death, we got to be looking at the vaccines here. And it's not a conspiracy, she said. We got to be looking at the vaccines. And of course, there was no evidence that there was Bob Saget's death was related to the COVID vaccine. And there's no evidence that some of them say thousands, some say tens of thousands. Some of them are saying hundreds of thousands of people are dying from the COVID vaccine. There's no evidence of any of that. But someone like Candace Owens doesn't apologize. And if she were moral and decent, she would. But their whole movement, I mean, listen, Trump has never apologized for anything. Their whole movement is based on not apologizing. And narcissism, something very, very much present in Trump's personality, and I would argue to a great degree with Candace Owens as well. Narcissists don't apologize. They don't take responsibility. It's just what they do. And we need to understand that. Kelly wrote in. Kelly says, does religion make people susceptible to BS? Hey, David, hope you're doing well today. I'm a frequent listener. Couldn't help but notice the craziest beliefs are often held by people who will follow their unhinged views up with a comment about God or some aspect of religion. You've shown many examples of this on your show. Do you think holding religious or supernatural beliefs leads to people being susceptible to believing other non-evidence-based views, stolen election or anti-vaccine? Let me know your thoughts. So the answer is yes. And I want to try to sort of be like respectful in some sense. And I don't need to make this about religion. Let me explain what I mean. We've interviewed on this show experts in cults, experts in conspiracy theories, experts in conspiracism, the psychology of cults and conspiracies, and on and on and on. And they have told us it is very rare that someone who is eager or susceptible to believe non-empirically based claims like conspiracy theories are rarely only susceptible to one. And so the example that's often given is we often think of flat earth as this kind of benign, victimless, silly little idea. The earth is flat and it's compartmentalized and that's it. But as our experts who we've interviewed have told us, and you can find a lot of these great interviews on our YouTube channel, on our website, a lot of the flat earthers also believe in, you know, anti-Semitic conspiracy theories that Jews control the world and have mass population control delusions or, you know, whatever the case may be. And so we know that it's true. Now, it is up to you to decide whether literal religious beliefs like there was an ark that had two of every animal and they survived a flood that way. It's up to you to decide whether that's an equivalent claim or God would never allow COVID to be created. So clearly China did it or whatever belief. It's up to you to decide whether claims like these that involve religion are the same or not. It's not for me to tell you, but I think the trend we see is that when you are willing to hold or susceptible to believing one type of non-evidence-based belief, you're almost certainly susceptible to holding many of those types of beliefs. And there are such beliefs in religion that fall under that category. Steve wrote in. Steve does not like a phrase that I used. He says, hello, sir. I'm hoping you could either stop using the phrase, put a pin in that, or instead say, put that in a pin cushion. You don't put a pin in something to take a break from it. You put your pin in a cushion to come back to it later. Please do better, says Steve from Tokyo. Steve, with peace and love, you're wrong. You're wrong. The phrase, let's put a pin in that to temporarily stop talking about a subject, comes from putting a pin back in a grenade before it explodes. Okay. Now I want to be clear. You know, this is like couldn't care less or minus well versus I might as well. You know, all these phrases that people get confused. The idea here is you take a grenade and you pull the pin. Wow. The grenade is now going to go off. You've got to resolve that issue because the grenade will explode. So when you say, let's put a pin in that, what it goes back to is, whoa, we don't want this grenade to explode right now. We don't know we need this grenade. You put the pin back in the grenade. Now, many grenades, you can't actually do that, but it's the idea is we're not actually going to blow this up now. Let's put a pin back in it, and then we'll deal with the grenade later. That's the source of it, Steve. And I tell this to you with total peace and love. Now, is it possible that this whole let's put that in a pin cushion. I've never heard that before. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but it sounds like it's a different phrase, different phrase. Okay, next, Charles wrote in and said, I'm running into a lot of pro-Trump propaganda on TikTok and on Instagram Reels. Yes, and I would go further. YouTube Shorts is a new vertical video TikTok type format. It is all riddled with right-wing propaganda. We are aware of this. We've talked to our YouTube rep about it. We've talked internally. We, in 2022, one of the things we're focused on is growing our TikTok following, using more of Instagram's Reels, which are sort of like a TikTok type format, and doing a lot of YouTube Shorts, because many of you have written to me and they've said, these formats are dominated by the right. So one of the things we've been doing, I'm taking a look at my phone here. We've been focusing on TikTok, where we are now up to 72,000 followers, 1.5 million likes. We're pushing TikTok big because it is a right-wing echo chamber in the political space. It's horrible. And you're absolutely right, Charles. We're going to keep pushing on TikTok Reels as well as YouTube Shorts. Okay, Sean wrote in about waning literacy in the United States. Sean says, Mr. Pacman, sir, the depressing level of literacy on display in your hate mail isn't limited to David Pacman Show rage watchers. Believe me, Sean, I know. Sean goes on to say, I've seen equally terrible writing in various corners of the internet that highlights social media posts from members of the right. The Herman Cain Award subreddit is an obvious example, but there are many others. I can appreciate that not everybody is a naturally gifted writer, but in a developed country like the United States, it's scary that so many adults have such a flimsy grasp of the English language. Has it always been this bad? And we're only now seeing it because people have more public avenues to share their written thoughts? Or are we just getting stupider? My guess is it's a bit of both. Either way, I only see the problem getting worse as people continue to demonize public schooling, teachers, science, and intellectualism. 110%. Beautiful email from Sean. I think there's two things going on. I do believe, I don't want to say people are dumber. And in fact, by various IQ measures, it's not true. But look at videos of, and this is always sort of fraught when you do this, and I know I'm stepping into a minefield, but look at videos of, for example, high school and college students asking questions to the late economist Milton Friedman. And you will see these, I'm not going to say the average student, because this is clearly a group that's interested enough to go listen to Milton Friedman. The level of how articulate these folks are and how well-spoken they are compared to what you see when Ben Shapiro visits a school and takes questions, it is night and day. So I think there is a change in terms of how we sort of expect people to communicate and grasp on language. I think that's a part of it. But the last piece of the email is also very, very true. The right has spent decades now demonizing public education, laughing off college as liberal indoctrination, and pushing this anti-intellectualism, all for their own benefit, because they know we're more likely to convince less educated people to vote for us because our ideas don't really make any sense. They don't say this, but this is my interpretation of it. So there is an education problem. It's a very depressing email that does point to some major, major issues that we are dealing with. One other email from Linda. This is another one of these phrases. Linda says, I could care less is a derivative of I couldn't care less. The latter is a direct statement. The former is sarcasm, as if is implied. As an old person, I remember when people started saying, I could care less. It was used only informally and was considered funny. You had to stop to think and realize they were saying the opposite of what they meant. Early on, some people would include the as in, as if I could care less. I think like most ironic expressions, it was started by some comedian. The humor went stale. It sounds stupid. People who use it will correct it if necessary for non-fluent speakers of English. So they know it's ironic or say it out of habit. If some young journalist wanted to research this, they could start with stand-up comedy in the 60s and 70s. I had not heard that. If this is true, I as far as I know, the phrase is I couldn't care less. And when people say I could care less, they just don't understand it. Linda's saying there is a historical basis for I could care less. And it was meant in jest, to mean the opposite of what is said. Maybe. I have not researched it. I will look into it. Last email today, Cedric says, "Dear David, I heard the booster shot enlarges the prostate in black men. Is that true? I am an African-American male. Cedric, I researched this and found nothing of the sort. I found nothing that the vaccine affects prostate size in any man, never mind specifically in black men. Check with your doctor if you have any doubts, but I was able to find no such information. We have a fantastic bonus show for you today. Sign up at joinpacman.com. You'll get instant access to the bonus show. You'll also get commercial-free audio and video streams of the show available every day, 6 hours before the shows are publicly made available. Sign up today, and you can use the coupon code WOW22.
CT Pittsburgh, meaty and full of flavor since 1949.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet. Because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sounds of what we call jazz. Tired of the fluffy stuff? At WRCT Pittsburgh, jazz is a one-syllable word.
RCT, in sound, from way out.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet. Because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
Depose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
DJ Heim from Forest, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
My fellow Americans, I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sounds of what we call, jazz.
Tired of the fluffy stuff? At WRCT Pittsburgh, jazz is a one-syllable word.
RCT Pittsburgh, meaty and full of flavor since 1949.
For those of you concerned with your health and the new USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you best music.
Nuclear Holocaust. It's a very serious problem, and one that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh, we broadcast from a steel-reinforced concrete basement. So we'll be playing music long after your sorry corpse has evaporated in a blinding flash of light and heat. I hope this thought comforts you. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Now and forever.
Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Techno Land? RCT Techno DJs in the house.
For those of you concerned with your health and the new USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you best music.
The Russian forces are planning to and intend to attack Ukraine in the coming week, in the coming days. We believe that they will target Ukraine's capital, Kyiv, a city of 2.8 million innocent people.
As President Biden warns of an imminent Russian invasion of Ukraine, France says Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin have agreed in principle to a summit in an effort to defuse the escalating tension. We'll speak to the nation's Katrina Vandenhoevel, a Russia expert. Plus, we look at the fatal police shooting of Dante Wright after former Minneapolis police officer Kim Potter was sentenced to 2 years in prison.
Kim Potter murdered my son, and he died April 11th. Today, the justice system murdered him all over again.
Then to Malcolm X. He was assassinated 57 years ago today in the Audubon Ballroom in New York City.
To bring about the complete independence of people of African descent here in the Western Hemisphere and first here in the United States, and bring about the freedom of these people by any means necessary.
We'll hear Malcolm X in his own words and speak to his daughter, Ilyasa Shabazz, and civil rights attorney Ben Crump about their call for a federal probe into Malcolm's assassination following the exoneration of two men who wrongfully served decades in prison for Malcolm X's death. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. France has announced President Joe Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin have agreed in principle to a summit proposed by French President Emmanuel Macron as diplomatic tensions continue to escalate over Ukraine. However, the White House said the meeting will only go ahead if Russia does not invade Ukraine, and Moscow says there are not yet concrete plans for the talks. The agenda would be set by U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov when they meet on Thursday. On Friday, President Biden offered one of his starkest warnings yet over a possible invasion of Ukraine.
In the coming days, we believe that they will target Ukraine's capital, Kyiv, a city of 2.8 million innocent people.
And do you have any indication about whether President Putin has made a decision on whether to invade? Do you feel confident that he hasn't made that decision already?
As of this moment, I'm convinced he's made the decision.
This comes amidst intensified fighting in eastern Ukraine. Two Ukrainian soldiers were killed Saturday, and Russian-backed separatists ordered evacuations of civilians, a move Ukraine blasted as a provocation and part of a Russian plan to stage attacks in the region. Meanwhile, Russia has extended military drills in Belarus that were set to end Sunday. On Saturday, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky called on Western nations to take stronger action, urging them to impose sanctions immediately as he spoke at the Munich Security Conference.
To me, as the president of a country that has lost parts of its territory and thousands of people, at whose border 150,000 Russian soldiers, military equipment, and heavy weapons stand, the answer is obvious. The world security architecture is fragile. It needs renewal. the rules that the world agreed on 10 years ago do not apply any longer.
Outside the Munich conference, hundreds of peace activists rallied in protest. We'll have the latest on Ukraine after headlines with The Nation magazine's Katrina Vandenhoevel. California Governor Gavin Newsom has announced his state is moving to the next phase of the coronavirus pandemic and will now treat COVID-19 as an endemic disease.
What we're announcing here today is about turning a page, moving from this crisis mentality, moving from a reactive framework to a framework where